You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 23rd of October. The Jazz run into a dropping big and old problems reemerge. We'll talk about what Memphis did to cause the Jazz so many problems and whether it's a big-time concern that the Jazz have started 1-2, then we'll jaunt around the league as well. It's all coming up on today's edition on Locked On Jazz. How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky little numbers. It's available on Google Podcasts, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Tell your smart speaker to listen to Locked On Jazz. Special thanks to everyone who got back to me last night. It sounds as though if you have Audio League Pass and Alexa, you can tell her to play Utah Jazz basketball, and you can get our play-by-play call via Alexa. So it seemed to have worked last night for people. Thank you very much to everyone who sampled that. And for $9.99, you can get the Audio League Pass and then subscribe and tune in. All right, this is actually the second try on the show. The first one, I was so bad, I had to restart it. I joked that I was shooting as well as Ricky and Dante did last night. I was terrible. So we'll see whether or not I'm any better on that one. Today's show is brought to you by Murdoch Hyundai. The snowmobile show is back, as well as Vivid Seats. So glad to have everybody involved. Let me take you back to last year. We'll do our numbers a little bit and go back to some of the Jazz, even when we were really, really good. Who did we struggle against offensively? So our worst offensive games last year, if you kind of run through it, there were some that we just had bad shooting nights, but the Atlanta Hawks, that dreadful performance against the Atlanta Hawks, our 81st defensive night of the year. The Toronto Raptors, we had a tough time with defensively last year. The Memphis Grizzlies last year, we had a really tough time with. Portland Trailblazers, we had a miserable time with defensively last, or offensively last year. We had our 90th. The Atlanta Hawks, we had our 83rd. I mean, so let me run through some of these numbers against these teams and what's so our worst one was against Miami. We had a 75.8 defensive rating. It was our 90th performance of the year. It was probably our worst single performance all season long. And then our 89th offensive performance was against the 76ers, and our 88th ranked offensive performance last year was against the Philadelphia 76ers. And our kind of surprisingly, right? Like, and so, all right, well, these are the same teams showing up again. And then you try to find the Atlanta Hawks. We had a 91.5 offensive rating. And against Toronto, we had a 97.7, which isn't so bad. But against Memphis, we had a 97.3, and they weren't that good. What? And Portland, we had an 85.4 for our 90th offensive outing of the year out of 93. What could be going on here? And then we played Memphis again, and we had a 99.3 offensive rating, our 67th. Offensive performance. And then we played Atlanta, who wasn't very good. We had a 90.3, our 83rd offensive outing of the year. And played Portland, and we had our 80th offensive outing of the year at 92.5. What's going on? Why are we having, what is the common thread? All of these teams play the same defensive style where they drop the big really, really deep, all the way to the restricted area, take away the rim on the roll, keep you off the restricted area, and force you to play a little bit differently. And it causes us problems. If you go find our games against Memphis last year, there it is. The Memphis Grizzlies, because of Marc Gasol, and the fact that he plays a drop big style, the same way that Yusuf Nurkic does, the same way that Atlanta did last year, causes us a tough time. It's a defensive. So our defensive rating Last year against Memphis, our offensive rating was a 97.3. We happened to have a brilliant defensive game, and we were able to win that game. Our next one was a 99.3. We had our sixth best defensive game of the year to beat them in March. And then we have the night in which Marc Gasol just pulls out of the game and doesn't play, and we have 112 offensive rating. But remember, we were losing that game. So Memphis just causes us a hard time. Portland causes us a hard time. Atlanta with their style. Toronto with Valanciunas dropping. I don't know if they'll still play that way. It'll be interesting to see when we play Detroit under Dwayne Casey. Those teams cause us a tough time. And you can go dig through those teams and try to figure out why. Well, you know, when the Jazz play some other teams, they go and get a bunch of shots at the rim. When they play Portland, they took 24 shots in the restricted area last year in one of the games. You suddenly don't get your shots at the rim. Against Memphis last year in our February 7th game against Memphis, which we win, we go 9 of 19 at the rim. We have an unusual mid-range shooting game. We shoot 10 of 18, and we win from mid-range. The next time we play Memphis is, let me make sure this is not the Marcus. No, we go 17 of 28 from we get to the rim. And then the next time we play them, Marcus Gasol pulls out. We end up going 20 of 28. This is Atlanta. We went 15 of 28, shot 54% from the field, and had to take 15 shots in the paint non-restricted area and end up losing that game in one of our few losses. The other time we played Atlanta, we went 14 of 29 at the rim in the restricted area, and we had to take 16 shots in the paint non-restricted area. If you find our worst shooting nights of the year last year at the rim, it's when we play dropping bigs Portland. We went 11 of 24 for 45%. We can't and we don't get to the basket. And then you're going to swing it out and you're going to hope that you make shots. And we didn't last night. November 1st against Portland, I'm just looking at our shot chart right now. I'm just guessing we won. We went 3 of 5 in the corner 3, 10 of 24 from 3. Like, we went and made shots. Maybe we didn't win that game. Maybe CJ, but offensively, I'm guessing we had a pretty decent game. And so what happened last night is Marc Gasol drops. The Jazz shot chart goes askew. We kick out to our corner 3 shooters. We don't make shots. And we struggle offensively with drop bigs. And the Jazz coaching staff worked on it awfully hard last year, but Marc Gasol is a defensive player of the year, and he got us. Last night, the Jazz went 6 of 28 shooting at the rim. Coming into that game, they took 34 at the rim against Sacramento and made 24 of them, and they only took 24 against Golden State at the rim, but they also took, you know, a million threes in that game, so that you're bypassing one good shot for another. The Jazz last night end up taking, two things happen. One, we couldn't continue to shoot 50% on above the break threes. That was going to come to an end at some point. And it did last night. We went 6 of 21 on our above the break. And then we went 2 of 11 on corner threes. You get corner threes, it should be good. We're 4 of 24 on corner threes so far this year. That's pretty unusual. But last night, paint non-restricted area, we took 16 shots and went 3 of 16. And went 16 of 28 in the restricted area for 57%. Marc Gasol disrupted our offense in a really, really big fashion. All right, here's the usual numbers breakdown we run through, but I wanted to start with that this wasn't anything new. This is a problem we've had. The pace of play was back down to 95 possessions like it has been. Our offensive rating was an 88. Ooh. So one of our worst offensive game. I mean, last year, our worst offensive game was that dreadful game against Miami, 76. 86 against Philadelphia. 85 against Phoenix early in the year, 85, 89 against the Clippers early in the year. you know, some of this is getting used to each other. I know we thought we were going to avoid that, but evidently not. You look back at last year to start the year before Rudy gets hurt in that Miami game. Our offense scuffled to start the year. We played 93 games last year. We had our 85th, our 92nd, our 88th, and our 93rd offensive rating in those opening stretch of games last year. I think our opening 12 games. So we had four of our worst 12 games offensively. We did not have a game opening night against Denver. We had a game that was above average. Otherwise, we didn't have a single, and we did against Dallas. Of the first 12 games of the year last year, only two of them ranked in our top 40 offensive games of the year. In fact, only two of them ranked in our top 47. So halfway point, right? Played 93 games last year. The rankings of our offensive performance in the first 12 games last year was our 35th best, our 64th, our 62nd, our 85th, our 92nd, our 56th, our 36th, our 59th, our 48th, our 47th, our 88th, and our 93rd. Then, frankly, Gobert got hurt, and then the offense clicked in. That's a little bit of what happened. So the two things that are taking place, a dropping big causing us a lot of problems, as well as us struggling early in the season, are not necessarily new. It's not great. It's just not new, which to me means I'm not going to throw a panic button down. I'll break down some other aspects of that game. That's a little bit of a different start than we usually do, but I thought the bigger picture was pretty important there for us to dig into before we dug into all the numbers. Those are a lot of numbers. I got it. But just that, hey, there's a bigger picture thing that's happening here that's been a problem, still a problem, same personnel, same team, same problem. Today's show is brought to you in part by Murdoch Hyundai. It was so great yesterday. I had lunch with the Murdochs. I had lunch with our whole crew, all of our advertisers, yesterday over at Pat's Barbecue. Super fun to sit down with everyone, talk basketball, share stories. And it really was neat because at some point you're talking about basketball and you're talking with these business owners and, you know, we're talking about good people versus Keenan from Grip Six asked whether the Jazz would add a bad personality. And I asked Tyson and Blake, like, what happens to your dealership if you have a bad personality in sales? You know, I asked Jeff and Scott from the store, like, what happens if you have a bad person, right? Like, single bad energy mojo people can really disrupt a lot of stuff. It's a good conversation. It was a fun time. Murdoch Hyundai is available for you at 4646 South State Street, also in Logan and in Linden. The Murdoch family has been in business in Utah for over 90 years. And what they're doing is they're making sure you have an incredible customer experience. Tyson and Blake and Ben and all the Murdochs have such incredible pride in making sure that when you leave, you have an experience that's signature to the Murdochs. They do it with certain guarantees. Car washes for life, safety inspection for life, price match guarantee, and the five-day return policy. The Murdoch lineup of Hyundais is just terrific. And with each one, you get the 100,000-mile Hyundai assurance. The Santa Fe is the SUV that we've purchased in our house. Great experience with Jason. There is our sales guy. Treated my wife beautifully when she came back the two times. After that, the Ioniq is their hybrid that's just terrific. The Kona is the zippy little small SUV. The Tucson is the award-winning mid-sized SUV. Hyundai's got an amazing lineup as you get ready for the winter. Go check it out at 4646 South State Street. Today's show is also brought to you by Vivid Seats. Vivid Seats is making sure that you get to go to live entertainment and have experiences that last a lifetime. Vivid Seats is an online event ticket marketplace. You can watch your favorite teams, artists perform in person. Great app for you. You can get it at the Google Play Store or on your App Store. Download the Vivid Seats app. Enter the promo code LOCKEDON. Receive $20 off of $200 or more of your first purchase. $20 off on purchase of $200 or more as a new customer of Vivid Seats. All Vivid Seats orders are 100% backed and guaranteed. Great sort items. You can shoot for exact section. You can shoot for certain price sections as well. Great prices, easy purchasing experience. It's all at Vivid Seats. Go down now to the Google Store, Play Store, or the App Store. Download the Vivid Seats app. Enter the promo code Locked On to receive $20 off, $200 or more on your as a new customer of Vivid Seats. Let's run through. So we had last night offensive rating 88, defensive rating 96.4. So this is the good news. Game slowed down, came back to our regular level, and the defense was fabulous again. You should win. You win 80% of your games when you have a 96.4 defensive rating. So the really positive thing for the Jazz last night is that the defense kicks back in, and so far, what the Jazz are doing defensively is brilliant. The Jazz defense is forcing opponents into bad looks. The Jazz have the number one smart defense in the NBA at this early stage of the season. 52.6% of opponent shots or threes are restricted area. The next best is Brooklyn at 59.1. That's going to work for you. Like, on the long run, this is going to work for the Jazz. And really, teams are shooting surprisingly well against the Jazz right now. So the Jazz rank 23rd defensively in the restricted area, 21st in the non-paint restricted area, 24th in the mid-range, 24th on above-the-break threes. Teams are shooting 40% against the Jazz and above-the-break threes. Those numbers are going to come down. So really good signs for the Jazz on the defensive end that, you were wondering a little bit after the first two games was the pace and the way the game's going that the Jazz are not going to be able to have a defensive impact on games. The Jazz are allowing the third fewest amount of shots in the restricted area. They're allowing the fewest amount of three-point shots in the league, the second fewest amount of corner threes. This is an important thing for them to be doing well. And as they continue, that will pay off as the year goes on. Points gained defensively, they are the number one points gained team in the league right now by the way they have their shots looking. So that's great. That keep that up. That'll work out for you. Open looks last night. So shot distribution last night was okay. It was 70. Let's see. Still, we're at 77%. Pretty darn good. We only took 22.7% of our... Nope, that's not true. 72% last night, which is not as good, but still not bad. We're middle of the pack right now in shot distribution, offensively. I think we're 12th, if I'm correct on that. We've taken the sixth most amount of shots in the restricted area. Nope, we're 9th. We're 9th in shot distribution. 69.3%. Houston's at 83% of their shots being threes. And then everybody else, Brooklyn's at 73. Cleveland's at 72. Clippers are at 71. Lakers are at 71, living in the restricted area. Oklahoma City is, interestingly, at 71. Where's Milwaukee? Huh. That doesn't seem right. No, this is not right. That's because I was looking at last year's numbers. Houston's at 85%. Milwaukee's at 81%. Dallas is at 81%. Incredible numbers. Lakers are at 80%. Atlanta's at 80%. We're 6th at 76.4 of shot distribution. So we're playing the game right. Last night we ended up 3 of 17 on short mid-range shots. We'll talk about how we went 8 of 32 from 3, and you'll hear everybody talk about that. The real story is we went 3 of 17 on short mid-range shots last night and just 6 of 28 on rim shots. Cleaning the glass does some interesting things where they put in what your percentile was of shooting that night. So we shot in the 22nd percentile at the rim last night. We shot in the 5th percentile in the short mid-range. We shot in the 7th percentile of all mid-range shots. We shot in the 18th percentile of corner threes, 2 of 11. And we shot in the 37th percentile of above the break. That's a bad shooting night, boys and girls. You don't win that basketball game. We were 17 of 49 on uncontested looks for 35%. Memphis was 15 of 57 on uncontested looks, so you should win that game. Mike Conley was 4 of 16. Joe Ingles for the Jazz was 3 of 10. Rubio was 1 of 7. Dante Exum was open for 6 shots and went 0 for 6. It was too bad. That's as much as the story of the game. Dante gets kick out. Rubio and Dante both got open threes in the third quarter that if they hit, swing the game. Last night, Gobert contested 22 shots. Favors contested 15. Rubio contested 8. Deflections, Donovan had 5. 4 for Rubio, 3 for Ingles. Loose balls recovered. Andy Larson had this on the Salt Lake Tribune. I thought this was interesting. According to the stats view, Memphis got 13 loose balls recovered. The Jazz got 3. I think there was a little bit of a Golden State hangover. The other one, by the way, and it's a good sign that the defense was good last night. I think it's also a sign that Marc Gasol and Mike Conley aren't quite right. You know, the other thing that the Jazz have really, really struggled with has been the big that can get out and pulls Rudy out of the paint. And that was the case again. You know, that's the same matchup last night for the Jazz. So Gasol is a problem for the Jazz. He covers the inside well, and then he, at the same time, is able to get back out and shoot the three. Another issue that is going on, it went on to begin last year as well, is the starting lineup for the Utah Jazz. So through 3 games, the Jazz starting lineup has played 29 minutes and has an offensive rating of 73.3. That's not great. This is a little bit of what happened to start the year last year. In fact, we could play around a little bit. Why don't we play around a little bit? Let's go find this. Before Rudy got hurt last year, give me a second here, the date. The date by which Rudy Gobert got hurt last year was the 10th of November. All right. You ready to go on a little numbers game with David? Let's do it. So last year, if you open the season in October of 2017, and then we'll just take that little date right there, and then we go to November 10th when Rudy got hurt, our starting lineup was not as bad as it is right now. Interesting. Well, wait a sec. Why? Oh, because I took it to November 10th of 2018. Now we have it fixed. The starting lineup at that point last year had Rodney Hood in it instead of Donovan Mitchell, was a 98.5. With Donovan Mitchell in the lineup was an 83.5. So 9 games into the year last year, we had, with Donovan Mitchell, Joe Ingles, we had an 83.5 defensive rating. We were minus 21.2, and the same thing has now happened again. Okay, it's still short. Like, don't freak. It's like, but that was an issue. You know, a bunch of the things that were issues a year ago are kind of perking up their ugly head right now. In 29 minutes, that lineup's a 73.3. When Crowder comes in, it becomes 126.2 offense. Becomes great. When Dante Exum comes in, it becomes 126 and actually defends. So there's that, you know, that's what's worth keeping an eye on. Moral of the story is, like, is there something dramatically different about what's going on with the Jazz that they lost this game? And the answer is probably no. Ricky Rubio has struggled his entire career against Mike Conley. He shoots 34% and 29% from three. In the last five games, he is now 7 of 38. In his last seven games, he is now 12 of 58 in games against Memphis and Mike Conley. So it's a bad matchup for him. Donovan's struggling a little bit right now to find his shots and find his looks in the same place they did. But I think if we go back and look at Donovan's game by game, I'll bet you he wasn't great against Portland and Atlanta and Toronto. Those would be, you know, should we do it? Let's go. Let's go. Go on another adventure together and see if these things are accurate. So if we look at Donovan, I haven't done this. This is just me looking at last year. The biggest drop big teams in the league last year were Portland, Toronto, Atlanta, and Memphis. Okay, Portland opening night 6 of 23. Memphis 7 of 15, 2 of 8 from 3, not a lot of shots. He got to the line 10 times. Oh, this is backwards. Let's go start the year. Portland 9 of 21 shooting. Did get to 4 of 10 from 3. Toronto 9 of 20. Miami's a drop big team, 5 of 14. Philadelphia's a Joel Embiid drop big team, 6 of 19. The best defensive teams in the league are drop big. They're hard. We're into December where he's now rolling. Let's see what we come up with. Miami, 12 of 25. Nice adjustment by Donovan. Has a good game there. Atlanta, 5 of 13. Doesn't get the shots he usually gets. Toronto, 9 of 20. We win that game. That starts our streak. Memphis last year, 4 of 12. This isn't stunning. Like, let's not overreact to it. Portland, 8 of 20. Memphis, 4 of 15 for Donovan last year. Portland, 6 of 23. Okay? That seems to be a fairly real sample size of items there that you might agree with me on. The Snowmobile Show is in town. That's much more exciting. Snowmobile Shield presented by Fly Racing, Utah Snowmobile Association, and Snow West Magazine. It's coming up this weekend. It's Friday at the Southtown Expo, or now called the Mountain America Expo Center. Last year, the show moved to the Southtown Expo Center and doubled its size. Now it's called the Mountain America Expo Center. It's growing again. It's the premier snowmobile show in the state of Utah, actually the Intermountain region. It's big, people. People come from Idaho, Wyoming, Colorado, Arizona, California, so you should come. Here's the booths that'll be there. Arctic Cat, Ski-Doo, Polaris, filled with 2019 snowmobile models, sleds, youth sleds, family sleds, deep powder sleds, trail machines, all the snowmobiles are there for the show. They big, fast, lightweight, modified mountain sleds, some of the most unique custom snowmobiles in the sport are at the Utah Snowmobile Show. Turbocharged sled, supercharged sled, just incredible. And if you're looking for new riding and safety gear, coats, snowsuits, pants, boots, helmets, gloves, backpacks, the Snowmobile Show is the place, all under one roof. It starts this Friday at 3 o'clock and goes Saturday from 10 to 6, the Mountain America Expo Center on State Street in Sandy. You can buy discount tickets online at snowwest.com/Utah, but that's S-N-O-W-E-S-T. There's only one W in there. So S-N-O West or Snow Est, whichever one you want. SNOWEST.com/Utah or get regularly priced tickets at the gate. We're going to usually do our Time Machine Tuesdays, but I thought there's some value just running around the league. There was a lot of games last night. What are the stories? Toronto continues to roll. They're 4-0. That game was another huge offensive outburst, 125 offensive rating in that game. Interesting in Charlotte, Frank Kaminsky is out of the rotation, basically. Little surprising there. Boston can't figure it out offensively yet. They lose to Orlando 93-90 at home. Slow-paced game. And I'm going to run through this a little bit today because my point is going to be the league slowed down last night. Both teams had offensive ratings under 100. Boston goes to 2-2. Orlando goes to 2-2. Nice win for them. Milwaukee and New York played a faster game, but not crazy fast at 101.9. League average last year was 100, so they just played a little bit of a quicker game. Offensive explosion by Milwaukee again, who are 3-0, have not lost 30 for Middleton and Antetokounmpo. They took 40 of their 96 shots as threes, and we talked about it earlier. They're at over 80%. Smart shots. Indiana and Minnesota, game went back to 100 possessions. Great defensive game from Karl Anthony Towns in Minnesota, which is interesting, worth watching. Andrew Wiggins only played 8 minutes with a thigh contusion. We are there at the end of our trip, but it's a week away. 91 defensive rating for Minnesota, one of their better nights of the year last night. Dallas and Chicago played another 99 possession games. The league slowed down. Offense stayed up, though. Dallas had a 116 offensive rating. Luka Doncic, 19 points, 3 rebounds, 6 assists last night. Dennis Smith struggled a little bit, went 2 of 11. He is not shooting well in his second year in the NBA right now. He's at 39% shooting and 31% from 3, which were both that's his last year's numbers. This year he's 36% from the field and 25% from 3 are his numbers so far this year. They're exactly identical to what they were virtually a year ago. Washington and Portland played overtime. That game was fast-paced. 108 possessions. Washington gets the win in Portland. A 69-point or 67-point fourth quarter between the two teams last night. C.J. McCollum goes 5 of 24. Dame Lillard goes 7 of 21. But he got 15 free throw attempts, so he covered up that. Nick Stauskas had another good game. But Portland goes to 2-1 with that loss. Washington gets their first win of the year. San Antonio and L.A. played an incredible game last night. I listened to it on the drive home. John Ireland on the call. They played a little bit faster, and L.A.'s trying to fly at 103. Kuzma had 37. L.A. was dead to rights, forced into overtime. Then San Antonio was dead to rights and actually won it. 143-142. LeBron missed 2 free throws late. That would have put him up 3 instead of held him up 1, and then Patty Mills hit on the other side, and then LeBron missed at the buzzer. In that one, Lonzo Ball played because Rajon Rondo played 33 minutes, and Golden State and Phoenix played a 102 possession game. So again, a little higher than average, but nothing crazy. So the league slowed down a little bit last night, which I think we're going to see. And Phoenix got blown out by the Warriors 123-103. That wraps us up today. That is Locked On Jazz. We'll be back with you tomorrow, coming to you live from Houston, getting ready for that matchup where they will not have the services of Chris Paul. This has been Locked On Jazz, part of Locked On Podcast Network. Go check out Locked On NBA. I believe Sam Amick will be on with John Corrales today on the Locked On NBA show. Ben Golliver will join me on the Thursday show this week. Have a great one.